What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what's a good coping mechanism, at least for an hour? Escape. Alcohol. Is talking about Fat Friday.
Oh, you meant this. Yeah, this is good too. I was like, are you giving me permission to drink?
Well, I mean, it's like 8:30 p.m. there. So, yeah.
Man, could have started.
Lexi's five. Drinking her Diet Mountain Dew.
Ew. Yes, I am.
Ew.
I know.
No, that sounds awful.
It's delightful.
Oh, I still have, she gave me one and it's still in my refrigerator.
You're missing out.
Diet Mountain Dew reminds me of Desperate Night at the Hotel. And that's all that was in the vending machine. And I'm like, I'll take it for energy.
What other kind of desperate times were happening at this hotel? Are we getting into Hannah Cabo's kink corner already?
Dude. I was never desperate at the hotel.
Oh, the one you worked at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing night audit and you need like some form of caffeine and all that's there is like Diet Mountain Dew, Diet Pepsi, and Nesty Brisk Sugar Bomb. I was like, oh, well, I guess it's shrinking testicles for me because
shrinking testicles.
Do you remember that when the rumor said that Mountain Dew would shrink your testicles?
Was this just in like the pre-monster days of a way to get like the meth addicts who would drink like 16 Dr. Peppers or whatever Mountain Dews a day?
Was that just their way? Mountain Dew shrinks testicles.
Is it the dye in it? The chemicals?
I don't know.
I think the last thing you guys told me.
They just proved it. They're like, they said regular consumption of Mountain Dew can decrease testicle radius.
Well, guys, my testicles are just gonna get smaller, I guess. I don't
know. Wow. See, a couple weeks ago you told me about how the dildo was invented, right?
The vibrator.
Right. You told me how that was invented about because it was for women with hysteria, and we got in this whole conversation. I was like, what the fuck? I don't even how did I not know this? I shit you not, like two nights later, I'm watching Vice and it's their series Sex Before the Internet.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And I hadn't really watched any of those yet. I was like kind of waiting for them all to come out and like a late Saturday night when I couldn't sleep type of show to put on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just on. So I just, whatever. I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And I shit you not, they did that whole story.
Nice.
And I videoed part of it and I was like, Lexi!
Did you send it to me? Because I don't even remember.
I don't know. I thought I sent it to both of you, but it's entirely possible I didn't. I don't know.
Send it to a stranger.
Or I meant to send it and then didn't because I got distracted.
I'm way too like ADD when it comes to receiving messages and also texting back. A lot of times I'll text back in my mind, never actually text back.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one because so bad. I'm like, oh, I thought I responded to them. It's like been 3 days. And they're like, so Hanakawa, can you record on Tuesdays? Like,
it's now Thursday.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, and then I also turn off the notifications on my phone because I can't so I have it on like some form of do not disturb almost all the time, either personal or work, whatever. I don't, because there's too many goddamn apps that give me too many goddamn notifications that I can't get turned off, and it's a whole thing, right? So I just shut everything off. I do what I do. I get overwhelmed. I just shut everything off and shove it away.
Me too.
And so that's what I've done with notifications. So if you text me and I'm not in a place where I can respond, like it requires, you know, me to check something or whatever, whatever the reason I can't respond right away, I'm not going to remember it later because I don't have notifications on to remind me there's a text waiting for me. So it's a whole like.
Well, I like to open up text on my Apple Watch. And then I'm too busy to respond to them because I'm either doing acupuncture or like serving. And I like look at it and I'm like, oh, I'll answer that later. And then, of course, it cancels the notification in my phone. So then I don't even know I have a text message. And then, well, it's a week later, like Hanakawa said, and I have no idea what's going on. And I'm talking to myself.
Oh. So I woke up this morning. My phone was completely dead. Just dead. Completely dead. Tragic. I went to sleep last night. I went to sleep before midnight. Like I'd had this conversation with my girlfriends where I talked to them about cat masturbation. It was like a whole thing, right? Put it to bed. I mean, I let it down, set my alarms, went to bed, woke up because my dog needed to go potty because her bladder is like the size of a pea. So I get up to go take her out and it's like, you know, 7:30 and I'm like, okay, that's about when I'm, you know, waking up when I don't have to take the kid to school. So I was like, okay, everything's fine. Go to pick up my phone. It's completely dead. Dead as a doornail. It's plugged in. It's charged. I check the chargers. I check, you know, change it. Nope. I have no idea what it is. No. And I was too busy to deal with stuff. I had my watch and I had my iPad. So at least I had, you know, communication. So I texted, had a life mate. I was like, fuck, I can't deal with it because I cannot deal with technology that doesn't work. I just, it like creates this like wall in my brain. So he ended up coming home later. When he came home from work, he was like going to go like start a claim with like Verizon or something. But then he Googled something and it was some like, you know, volume up, volume down, push, push, you know, like a cheat code on a, you know,
like what I had to do when I remember when I didn't have service and it was, that's a whole nother thing. And I was like hitting all the buttons and doing all the things.
It was something he like, he had Googled like, you know, iPhone 14 Pro, you know, not starting. Apparently it was the thing, do this. And it comes back and it came back on.
Nice. So it's like a software glitch or something.
Yeah. I don't know. So,
I smell like shrimp.
You smell like shrimp.
Yeah. Sorry. We had at my friend's house, salmon and shrimp. And I just got Old Bay in my eyes, actually, just now.
Just now, rubbing your eyes, talking about the shrimp. Yeah. And you're eating it in shrimp in Maryland. It's going to have Old Bay. Woo! That's some good shit, though.
Ooh, she gave me like a whole bag of shrimp, his sister, like this much shrimp in my fridge right now. Kaya loves it. Kaya was like, nom, 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 nom. She ate like 20 shrimp.
Oh, God. No wonder she was running around like a Tasmania double.
She ate two pieces of cake and lots of gummies, and then she started doing like zoomies around my living room.
Specify gummies, please.
Yeah, gummy bears, guys. My friend Odessa had gummy bears for her. And, like, my friend Odessa has no kids, but she has like a lot of nieces and nephews, so she like always has snacks and just random stuff in her purse. She's like Mary fucking Poppins. Okay, there's a freaking coloring book. There's like toys. I'm like, where does this like never ending stuff come from? So that was my inner crazy entertainment tonight. And then did you see the video I just sent you?
Yes. I was trying to talk to Hannah Cobb about it. Then we got distracted.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Did you watch that video?
Hannah, the baby?
Yeah. Did you watch the one that Lexi sent of Kaya talking about Dr. Now?
The baby. I saw the baby.
The baby. Baby.
Dr. Now. She,
Dr. Meow.
I was like, do you like Dr. Now? Yes. I'm like, oh, bless your heart.
Dr. Nazard and or whatever she said.
Yeah. I'm glad your phone's working.
I know, me too. Okay. Let's get to Fat Friday.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. All right. let's start with sisters and just get it out of the way because I don't even remember like what happened. Yeah. Like I remember what happened, but I don't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's get that one out of the way and then we can talk about the selfish entitled twat in Florida.
Lordy. Okay.
I've got some feelings on him.
I can tell.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
So we're talking about season 4, episode 7, Proof is in the Pudding. We recap seeing Tammy get approved for her weight loss surgery last episode. This episode, we start off with Tammy being super excited because she was just approved for surgery. So she's like, woo, surgery. And she's like, I finally gave up my sodies and chocolate. So she seems super excited and motivated.
And yeah, well, it's like finally getting that, you know,
yeah, success. Misty talking about getting a string bikini for Tammy. And Dr. Smith was like, well, whatever works.
Whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what? Wear whatever you want. I ain't gonna, you know what? That's, I have that feeling generally. I'll say it about this too. Wear whatever the fuck you want to wear.
Right. I just need support. Somebody sent me a funny meme today about bra sizes. And like, if you're under a C cup, you get these beautiful lace like bra. Mm-hmm. And then if you're like a D plus, it's like, here's your beige colored, like, what is it?
Tent.
Yeah, that you have it's, to it's like
beige, red, black, and white. Right. Unless you go somewhere that's, you know, going to
then it's like a it's a crank, like a crank pulley system to get it on.
you get three hooks in the back, maybe five.
I like the five.
And then the straps are like really super wide.
Yeah. it's like breast, like, insurance, like you have to make sure those things are staying somewhere.
Right. And then it says in the meme, it was like, oh, and here's a little decorative bow on the front to make you feel like it's,
yes, that's gonna fall off in like 2 weeks. Yeah. It's gone. Or there's like some weird embroidery on it. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And as somebody like me and all of you probably being large breasted, we get it.
Oh yes.
Oh, we get it.
Even after our breast reductions.
Yeah. When I was a triple, like insane, mm-hmm, triple insane, yeah, size. I don't even know what it was.
Wait, you guys both had reductions?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I need one. Can I even say this? I don't even care. I'm a 38H now. 36, 38H. Mama's.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a 34 double D right now.
Uh-huh.
Is my most recent. And that was my, let me buy several at Target that were on sale and try them on and see which one fits me the best.
Ah, see, I can't even fit in a Target sizing, which sucks. After the baby, it's just boop. I didn't even have any milk. I'm like, where the hell are my boobs bigger? Oh, I gained weight, but I'm like, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine have, with my recent weight loss, they've definitely gone down again.
Okay. That's good. I mean, like, or not, or good.
No,
or,
it is good. I want them small. I mean, I had a reduction to get them at like a C cup, but I was still like a D cup. And then I gained weight and then I lost
C-cup,
weight. And
C cup would be goals. Mm-hmm. I asked my doctor, I was like, can I do a C cup? He goes, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. He's like, I want to make him proportional to the rest of you. Like, I guess, like, but you're, I saying don't, I'm like fat. Mine.
That's why when I hear things like string bikini, I'm like, I ain't no support. I need some Spanx. I need a security bra with three straps or a thick wide band, thicker than you know, a few inches or whatever. Huh, whatever. To each his own.
For real. And also, on speaking of bathing suits, why does it always look like Amy is always wearing like a bathing suit bottom, like one of those skirt bathing suits? Why does Amy always look like on Sisters? She has this black skirt thing, short skirt thing.
Is it a skirt?
It kind of looks like a skirt, but it looks like a bathing suit skirt.
I'll have to look. I've never paid attention to it.
Yeah.
It was skirt.
What?
A bathing suit skirt. What?
What?
Skirt?
You don't know what a skirt is?
The fuck's a skirt?
It's what? Shorts and a skirt combined.
Why?
Oh my God. Wait, I'm 37. Are you?
Where were
than
you
me?
In the 90s?
Not wearing fucking skirts.
What? You mean to tell me that
you're like tennis school. We had skirts. We would wear pants underneath them, but so like skirt, they weren't connected.
No, these are connected.
Gosh. That's so fucking weird.
So you would put on the, like, pretend like you're putting on shorts, right? So you put those on and then you wrap around the front and tie it. So you've
well,
got,
not
like,
all skirts are like that. You could that
some
would,
you could just put on. Some
you just pull on, and
right, they're right. That's true. I'm thinking
shit, about tennis. They have a modest. They have a little. Okay, I did have a skirt when I played tennis, but we didn't call them skirts. We just they were just tennis skirts.
I had when I played lacrosse.
So you didn't flash the ball handler. The balls. Like when he's coming to get the balls, you don't want to distract him.
He said balls.
Balls. That's really, and people wore that for fashion?
Yes.
They do now still.
They brought it back, I think.
Watch now. All these ads
Gen Z thinks that they invented the fucking squirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's ancient.
She's in shock.
I found a denim thong though.
See?
The squirt has a denim thong underneath instead of shorts.
That seems like it'd be a little weird and uncomfortable if you have to move the whole thing, or I don't know.
White denim though.
I feel like I play golf in squirts a lot.
Yeah, I have golf.
That would make sense too. Yeah.
But again, it's a little different.
I went to private school, so we didn't have options to wear things like that.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
You wore a skirt.
Mm. And I'm surprised they weren't shorts.
You wore shorts underneath. If your short was short, because they were tailored to be to the end of your fingertips or your middle finger.
Right.
But because I'm short, the fingers
are very short.
My arms are short too. So basically if I bent over, you'd see sunshine if I was wearing them at the appropriate length. So I had to wear shorts.
Makes sense.
I was like, just say knee length then. You guys just suck. You guys suck.
Oh God.
Anyway. Okay.
All right. So
back to sisters.
Sister what?
Sister wives, sister thousand sisters. Sisters.
Sister pounds.
Yeah.
1,000 pound sister wives.
What? Oh, that would be a good show.
Yes.
I'd watch it.
And you could still have what's her
90 face? Day fiance,
the crying
wives.
One.
Oh man, Robin, sobbing
he's,
Robin.
He's falling for 1,000 pound women now.
Oh God,
he misses the stretch marks.
Oh Lordy, I don't know why, but like thinking about Cody just gave me anxiety, and I was in a good mood. And now I'm like Cody.
Had a visceral reaction to that. All right, back to Tammy and Amy.
Okay,
all right.
So we see
Dr. and the thought of Tammy in a string bikini.
Yes, and then we see Dr. Smith talking to her about the risk and complications of surgery, and how she has to be compliant after the surgery.
Yeah,
and then we switch to seeing Amy and Michael bringing Amy's mom Darlene groceries, and wanting to make sure that she had everything that she needs before they leave out of town to go visit Tammy for her surgery. And now I kind of see the toxicity of their mother. I mean, I saw it before, right. But in this scene in particular, I feel like Tammy actually acts a lot like her mom.
Which is not surprising.
Right. Like making excuses, not wanting to go places, not supporting.
My babies.
Let's talk. Okay. Who are her babies, Katrina, that she's talking about?
The dogs.
The dogs. Not Tammy, not Amy, the dogs.
Not her actual baby who's going in for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Right. Because Amy says, hey, come with us. We're only going overnight. We're coming back tomorrow.
Right.
I can have some friend or whatever watch the dogs.
They can come stay with the dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. That really hurt me. That hurt my heart.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Amy was like, I would do anything for my children. I would sell my house to fly wherever to be with my children if they needed me.
Right. Another example of Amy trying to do better and provide better for her kids than what she had, which I love it when they showcase that, because it's like, you know, she's really, really doing it. And that's why when I heard about her, Michael, I was like, if it's true, you know, like she was getting her dreams and stuff, but maybe splitting from him, she can realize, I mean, maybe she, like,
and you know, the question
wasn't
is
happy, you know,
sometimes you wonder if you're better off doing it alone, if it's easier rather than having an unsupportive partner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
So, in her case, maybe it would be better leaving.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we see Darlene talking about Tammy coming home from the hospital when she was a baby. And she said that Tammy wore 6-month clothes coming home from the hospital.
But like 2 weeks ago, mom was like, yeah, she wore adult size clothes when she was a baby. So whatever, mom, I don't. Yeah, she was a big baby. I get that. But she's always spouting. I don't know. I don't believe anything she says about what she actually dressed the child in.
Right. And then Darlene says she's proud of Tammy for coming this far, which I was like, oh, look at her. She's being nice. That's nice. But then, of course, said she's not going, and she doesn't even want to go to doctor's appointments. So that let me know.
She tried to make it. Oh, it's not about that. It's just I don't do a because it's all about me. Mm-hmm. God.
And I wonder too. She has a fear of going out, like Tammy does. Just a fear of just being out in public. It sounds like she's pretty stay at homey kind of.
Yeah.
No agoraphobic or what, but I don't know.
Or a bitchic.
You've been watching them so much that you're starting to sound like, oh,
I know, right?
all right. Well, then we see Tammy at her hotel, and she's getting ready to leave to go to the hospital, and her whole family, except for her mom, who's with the doggies, is outside cheering her on. She's with her
babies.
Yeah.
Babies.
And we see Tammy holding baby Glenn, and she looks nervous but so excited to have her surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Tammy and really loves Gage too. And Gage mm-hmm. loves Tammy. So like, I think, you know, she's got this like really special bond with them. Now, is this where Tammy says she might consider having kids at some point?
It was later on that says that, but yeah. But what I did notice in this scene was Amy was like, okay, well, I can't go to the hospital because I guess COVID or whatever. I'll see you after your surgery. But did you sense some kind of tension between Amy and Tammy in this scene? Or I don't know. I just like,
I think what I got from that scene was, you know, Amy saying, you know, yeah, I won't be there in the morning, but I'll be there after. I sensed a very tired, emotional, hormonal Amy. Yeah. And probably that was going to be the best because she's got these two kids and Michael's useless. And that's a new bingo square because I had to change up the bingo squares because surgery approval was one of them, you know, and whatnot. So I had to make some changes. Michael's one of them is Michael is useless. And then I think Melissa or Natasha was like, that should be the center of free square.
And then I texted you about the CPAP. I was like, can you mark off CPAP if it's me sending you a picture?
Right, when it's you, because you just got fitted for your CPAP. You have your CPAP now.
I did. I used it last night and I did not sleep one wink. Not one.
It's too weird with all the
stuff. I don't know. I've never had trouble sleeping, and I just laid there all night and was hoping to fall asleep. And then when I quote woke up, aka got out of bed or out of bed this morning, I still felt the same amount of exhaustion as I did when I sleep 8 hours, which makes me know that I really do have sleep apnea if I stay awake all night and I still have the same amount of energy
as you if still I was feel the same way you yeah. do when you've quote unquote yep. slept all night. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll try again tonight.
All right.
All right.
You just have to get used to it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You just get used to something in your face.
I'll send you selfies tonight.
I'm sorry. I'm just
no. It's okay. It's funny. I can tonight. No. It's all good. Like everyone, we need a laugh.
Murder stuff all night, y'all. In case so you didn't know that, just before we started recording, jury came back in the murder case and guilty on all counts. Two murders.
It only took 3 hours because they stopped to have some pizza.
I know, right?
Well, they're like, we need to eat and then we'll get. They're like, everyone, yeah, he's guilty, right? They're like, yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's get some pizza.
The analysts on CNN, which is what I had on right before we came up to record, it's like Anderson Cooper and, you know, his friends or whatever, and they're all talking about it, and somebody was saying, well, what do they do for, like, if they all agree he's guilty that quickly, like, do you really need 3 hours to do it? Mm-hmm. One of the guys was like, well, you know, sometimes if they've been together so long, these guys have been together 6 weeks, you know, they've all bonded, they want to have one last meal together and kind of hang out, you know, or, you know, do a poll, maybe they're not 100% on one of the charges, they go through each of them, it might just takes a little bit of time, you know, but yeah, like, let's share the last meal together. They were like, we are not staying overnight. We're going home. I want my phone back. I want yeah.
Crazy.
Anyway, so he was found guilty on all those. Still have to try him on financial crimes if he doesn't plead guilty, which he should because he's admitted
to it. Yeah.
All kinds of there's a lot of basis for appeal. So this is not the end of this case, plus all the other ancillary stuff. We are going to have some coverage on this. I don't have all the exact details because our expert got pneumonia. Once he is available, or if I find a replacement expert criminal defense attorney, then we'll do that. But we also are going to do a show entirely devoted to one of the side stories. That's the Smith murder, which is the boy that was found with traces of Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Inside.
Crazy, anyway. Crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff. Go watch the HBO documentary about it if you want. And then
so good.
That'll like be a good primer. Anyway. So, but we digress. Back to Tammy.
We see Chris being interviewed, and he says that Tammy has always had a fear of being put to sleep and not waking back up. So this
understandable.
Surgery, right. It's the biggest fear of her life, thinking that she won't make it out with. And that's actually a legitimate fear, considering her weight and everything else, are all of her health issues. But Dr. Smith says that without surgery, Tammy's chance of survival in the next 5 years is close to zero. So it's definitely worth her going through with it.
Right.
They are removing 8 to 10 inches of her small intestine and 80% of her stomach, which is an extreme amount to remove in anyone. Yeah,
didn't Chris say he only got like 30% removed?
Yeah, yeah. And he did not get any of his small intestine removed from what I remember.
So like they're doing like whatever, and a bypass, like they're doing both or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they said they do this extreme surgery with patients that have a history of non-compliance. So
which she does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she is a little bit worried about dumping syndrome, where if she eats too much, it'll just kind of go right through her.
Yeah.
But it's necessary. I mean, it's, you're going to die, basically. They're doing everything they can do to save her life.
Yeah. So, and I mean, she's decided, obviously, you know, she's going to get it and stuff. But, you know, some of these risks are, you know, legitimate things to be concerned about. There are, you know, things that if you, okay, now that you finally got the surgery, allow yourself to think beyond that, right?
Right.
Okay, now what's the practical day-to-day? I've had friends that have had, you know, various types of bariatric surgery, and they're like, you know, they're miserable in those mm-hmm. first couple of weeks. You know, you're on this pure liquid diet. You could barely eat anything. You feel miserable. You're coming out of the anesthesia, you know, just like you're in pain.
I mean, I did the colonoscopy, and I had to have one day of liquid diet, and that was hard.
Yeah.
Just one day of drinking liquids. I can't imagine the recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, how weak you become and just, you know, tired. It's a lot for sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
So 2 hours later, we see Chris and Misty are still waiting at the hospital for Tammy, for an update on Tammy's surgery after she goes in. And the doctor, Dr. Smith, said it would take about an hour and a half, but now it's 2 hours in, so they're starting to get a little bit worried. But here comes Dr. Smith saying, hey, she did really well, yeah. And that it took longer because...
Sorry, I don't know why I'm doing circus music for Dr. Smith.
What's going on in there? Dr. Smith is not a clown. He is awesome.
No, but I'm a clown.
So. Yeah. But he said that she had a change in her anatomy where her small bowel and colon were stuck in her pelvis. So they had to spend more time, I guess, moving things around.
Yeah, like what? What even is that?
Yeah.
And you don't notice?
Right?
Doesn't cause a problem? Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, they fixed it. They got around it. It's all good.
And then Chris says he's not surprised there was a complication because there's not a damn thing about Tammy that's not complicated. I love their banter, just their back and forth bantering.
One of the squares on bingo was judgmental sibling.
Judgmental sibling. We see Tammy coming out of surgery, and the first thing she says is she says to Chris, he looks funky. And you know how we all come out of surgery, yeah, like not making any sense.
I have the best video of Hetero Life Mate when he came out of surgery from his emergency gallbladder surgery.
Oh no, what was he saying?
I don't even remember now. I have a video of it. I posted it on Facebook with his permission. Hilarious. I think he was talking about the nurse smiling or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Gotta love it.
She comes out all loop.
Yeah, she's loopy, loop-de-doo, loopy. But she made it and no issues in surgery, so that's good. And then we see this very sexy Dr. Proctor, who's looking super fine this episode. I don't know, like, he's looking even hotter.
I didn't realize
like,
you had such a crush on Dr. Proctor.
I didn't until, like, today. I was like, oh, my God, what have I been missing? He had glasses on. His glasses look so good. He looked like I don't know.
I don't know. Have you not watched like Family by the Ton or any of those ones?
Family by the Ton? No.
If you go to the Discovery Plus app, there's other fat people shows. Uh-huh. And I think one, the like two seasons of One Ton Family or something along those lines. And he's the doctor in it.
Ooh.
He's based out of Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. He's also the doctor on 1,000-Pound Sister or Best Friends.
I haven't seen that show. I mean, I've like
and he was in before they started seeing Dr. Smith, they were seeing Dr.
Right.
They were all seeing Dr.
But he didn't look as hot as he did right now on the laptop. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me.
I don't know. Maybe it's a diet Mountain Dew you're drinking.
You're all hyped up on Mountain Dew. My testicles are smaller, but
only made the chesticle smaller. I should drink up.
Oh, is that how it works in women? Makes your boobs
probably
smaller?
Not. It probably makes your estrogen levels like skyrocket.
Probably gonna make, it's probably gonna make them grow larger. Yep.
I might go into menopause now. I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm perimenopausal after drinking all this Mountain Dew. I have no idea.
Which is so funny given what your diet consists of otherwise. Yeah. It's so funny to me that Diet Mountain Dew is your like vice of choice.
It is my vice. And you know what? It was Diet Coke for a while, but now I don't know.
It's just so funny because it's just such an opposition to everything else that you ingest in your body.
Like my fluoride free filtered water and my Diet Mountain Dew. Yes.
All your woo-woo earth woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we all have our things, right?
Yep. You're okay, like so licking tree bark and shit.
I do not like tree bark. Okay. Actually, bark, some Chinese bark is in, that's neither here nor there. But we're not licking it, we're boiling it.
Okay.
So Dr. Proctor is talking to Amy, and I literally typed, he's looking fine as hell. So they're talking about her weight. She wants to get down to 150. She admits she has not been sticking to her diet. It's been hard to feed Glenn and feed herself appropriately. How
getting
she wants
down to 150 seems that's a her little goal. Ridiculous.
Why?
It just, okay, maybe it's just me. And so I'll put it out there. My goal was 150.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been stuck at 155 since November.
Yeah, but you're talking about like, what are you, 5'6"? We're the same height,
5'4".
Right? 5'4". Oh, you're shorter than me. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I actually met with my doctor today, and she's like, you know, because I haven't lost or gained weight since Thanksgiving. And so,
well, you look great. You look like you lost a lot of weight.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I'm also in the gym a ton and stuff now and all that. And so my body composition is starting to change and stuff.
Well, so you're muscular.
Yeah, and that's what she was saying too.
Yeah.
But I had it in my mind. I'm like, I got to get to 150. And she's like, based on everything that we've been going with, you're like, your body weight is likely like 155. Like that's where your body just feels comfortable. And if you push yourself and you got down, you know, 145
you bounce
or whatever,
back, yeah,
then
you'd constantly
be
struggling to keep
and
it
hungry
at that.
And exactly, yep. And all that stuff. So she's like, and then you're just gonna go back up. So she actually put me on my maintenance macros and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And
it's fun because at some point your body does tell you, I'm done.
Yeah.
Stop. And a lot of times, like you have the conversion too, right? So you may not what is it, pounds and inches. A lot of people will stop seeing pound loss, but they'll see mm-hmm. inch loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of, you know, caterpillars, you lose weight and then it stalls and your body catches up and then it just kind of slinks. But
yeah, I'm like right now, I mean, I have that in a stupid number in my head and stupid BMI charts in my head.
Stop. Like, BMI charts are like, bullshit. BMI should stand for, let me think of what
like, she said. Yeah. Buy like a tight mini dress and that's your goal. Get into it.
Yeah. Basically. That's what she said. She's like, you know, so she's like, don't look at the bot, you know, and all that, the BMI and all that stuff. And she's like, keep doing what you're doing, you know, and with all the strength training and stuff I'm doing, you know, my body composition is starting to change more, which is good. And anyway,
I can't wait. Cause you know, Erica said she was going to do the show. So I'm just going to say it now, cause she's definitely going to do it. Erica Lugo, the Biggest Loser trainer who lost a lot of weight. She actually recently competed in bodybuilding but that's not her like forte or whatever, but she knows, she works with all kinds of people to do metabolic like weight loss and mm-hmm. just like to do your overall like whole body kind of healing rather
she
than
has like a whole
on-
app. Yeah. And stuff that she does
like it'll be interesting to talk to her about this too, because both you know, like Hanakawa has experience in that, and you with your weight loss and everything, and me just being overweight now and tired.
But you're the medical provider amongst us.
As soon as I can get my sleep apnea under control,
then you're then we're good. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be cool to hear about that. And so
yeah. So that's an upcoming episode, y'all.
Yeah.
Biggest Loser trainer, Erica Lugo.
And we still don't know how tall she is. She could be like 5'1" for all Tammy? We know. Yeah, or Amy. Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Amy. Yeah, she's short. Anyway, yeah, we totally got off track on the number. But I just think, and especially when somebody is so over, and they do, and Dr. Now does this too, is like, and I think he did it to this guy that we're about to talk about. It, you know, they're 700 pounds and are like, your goal weight is 122 pounds. You know, and it's like, can you give him something closer for now? Like, you know what I mean? Like
the long, far road down the road to get there.
Yeah.
Well, and Amy previously weighed 275 pounds the last time she was weighed in, I guess, with Dr. Proctor. He didn't even know she had a second kid. So he's like, who's that on the FaceTime? Ooh. It's Glenn. It's my baby. He had her step on the scale. She weighed 281 pounds. So that means she gained 6 pounds after her second pregnancy, or after everything.
How,
really.
Wait, how much?
Six. That's
six
it.
6 pounds. Oh, that's mm-hmm. not bad. Yeah.
So she went from 275 to 281. And he tells her that she needs to eliminate dairy and get back on track.
And she was like, no, you're not taking my cheese away from me.
Pretty much.
And here's the thing. I get that because cheese is like its own food group for me. Like I love me some cheese. But at the same time, saying, nope, you're not going to take away my cheese. Like that shows that you're not committed to the change. It's like the person on 600 Pound Life that was like, yeah, I don't eat beans. I don't eat that. I don't, you know, she was in the hospital on the control diet. She's like, I don't eat that. I don't eat that. Well, no, you didn't used to. But you need to start now. You know what I mean? Like, so Amy being all, you're not going to take my cheese away. Well, maybe have to make some modifications here, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And then we then see Tammy post-surgery, 2 days post-surgery. She's saying all is well. They're getting her actually back to her hotel room where she's going to recover a little bit more. And then she's going to go back to rehab. And her goal is to be out of rehab within like 6 weeks of going back after the surgery. Yeah, and then that's when Tammy says she kind of wants kids.
Okay. So this, I think my personal opinion on it is that they're doing that to plant what we see next week, which is her getting engaged. They do it. They're doing it to plant it, to set the scene of, you know, that, oh, you know, sort of foreshadowing, not that she necessarily really wants kids, but if she says, oh, I'm thinking about it. Oh, well, why are you thinking about it? Oh, because now I have this person in my life that I'm going to marry, you know, whatever.
Could be.
So that's my personal opinion of that particular drop.
Yep. And then we see the family saying goodbye to Tammy. She starts crying. She's very thankful that they were there to support her, unlike her mom. And then next time we see Amanda and Amy at the spa, which looked super relaxing. And Amy says she's hanging on by a thread. Tammy calls saying she has a trach infection, like, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And we see Tammy and Caleb's relationship potentially developing on the next episode.
Yes, we do.
So yay for Tammy.
She got the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
And yay for Dr. Proctor.
Okay. Yay for Lexi's balls that are rapidly shrinking.
Oh my God.
Her boobs are growing. 5 seconds. We'll be right back. Hey, fraudcasters. You've probably already heard about how effective Ozempic and Wegovy are. You've probably also heard that they're in shortage, but Row makes it possible to access GLP-1s and start your journey ASAP. Through Row, you can access prescription-compounded GLP-1s with the same weight loss ingredient as the brand name GLP-1s at a fraction of the cost.
You can see if you qualify from the comfort of your own home. That means no having to schedule a doctor's appointment, no driving to the doctor's office, no waiting rooms, none of that. You do it all from the comfort of your home through your computer. And if prescribed, your medication ships directly to you in 1 to 4 days. Go to ro.co/fraudcast. Membership start at just $99 for your first month. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/fraudcast. Go to ro.co/safety for black box warning and full safety information. Compounded medication is not required to and does not receive FDA review or approval, prescription only.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
And now, back to the fraudcast.
Okay, so now switching topics to my 600-pound life. We are on season 11, episode 6, Mark's Journey. I will say, Wes still killed it this season, because every single episode I've watched, and I'm just kind of like, blah, blah.
We changed up some of the squares on our bingo this week because the episodes hadn't been, or like, you know, like they'd been more wholesome and good than, and so we changed some of them up, and like one of the squares is actually wholesome content.
Wholesome content. That's a very open-ended bingo
square. Yeah. Like, well, and we actually had a discussion about that particular square, because towards the beginning, there was something the dad said where he said, I'm proud of you, when he had a weight loss. And I was still camp, dad's an asshole.
He is.
I don't think him saying he's proud of him, I think there's an underlying motive. I don't think it's genuine. You know, let's see how, what else develops. And then as the show continued, you saw him develop into more and more and more of an asshole. And I'm like, see,
he's
not
doing
wholesome content
in front of the camera. So Lord knows what he said to his son and family behind the scenes, like growing up and things like that, because I was shocked he even said that in front of the camera.
Yeah,
but
we'll get there though. Let's back so up. And I know Hanakawa almost had some thoughts she was gonna on this episode, so
it's not even the episode, it's just the intro.
as usual.
that's where I like live. I'm like, okay, let's see what he
has
to do.
They do have
now.
Some of the really good
they do balls. But it's just the narration where he's like, I have to motivate myself to get up. I was like, me too, and I actually have to fucking go somewhere.
Yeah.
And take care of a kid. You just have to sit up and profit. Like, I don't understand. It just drives me nuts. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard for me to be able to relate when, like you said, you have duty. You have to work. You have to feed your child. You have to. There is
I could not relate to this guy at all either. Because one of our squares is childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. So we're listening to his backstory and we're like waiting for the trauma.
Well, do you think that he hid it though? Do you think that there was something that he just didn't want to discuss?
No, I think they're stupid, rich, entitled white people.
You think they're rich?
Well, I mean, they live in a house that has a pool house. And I know
every pool in Florida has a pool house. I've been researching doing moving there. You could buy like a three-bedroom house with a pool for like $350.
Yeah, okay. But they had everything. Their quote-unquote trauma was them both losing their high-paying jobs in like the financial industry, right? So like they lost, you know, they were living high and large. They lost their jobs. Okay, losing everything. That's rough. And they had to go move in with grandma. And he was like, oh yeah, there was just newspapers on the walls and stuff. Okay, whatever. I don't know
what that meant. Did you understand what he meant with the newspapers on the walls?
No, I think he's just trying to be, you know, they whatever.
Was it like a murder plot or something?
No, like he's trying to make it sound. Like,
was,
like,
was that insulation?
I mean, because that's like in. If you look on Pinterest, that is like a look.
Lord.
I don't know if it was a look at grandma's house, but they went to go stay with her mom, like his grandmother. That's so they lived there for a few years, got back on their feet, and now they live in a house in Florida with a pool and a pool house. So no, I'm not crying. You know, we sat here riveted listening to Wes's story.
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks ago. That's childhood trauma. I'm not calling, even though she was like, oh my God, it was so traumatic. You know, for her, it's all relative, sure. Right. But I can't equate that to like what Wes went through. Or yeah. How what I went through.
And like we don't know too what was edited out. How I mean, I agree with you though. No, I totally agree. I just feel like it was missing something. Like either he didn't fully open up or it was cut out. Like I feel like there was, because he wasn't very open. Wes was extremely open and talking about everything. And I feel like this guy was kind of just making excuses. So yeah. Well, I guess we should introduce him. He's 42-year-old Mark Rutland, who lives in Orlando, Florida. At the beginning of the show, we don't know his weight. He thinks it's around 600 pounds, maybe, unfortunately. But as we find out, it's more than that. And now we see him getting out of bed, like Hannah Kawa said, slowly letting his joints get lubricated, as he said. We see the shower scene. Then I see him call his mom on the phone, and I'm like, oh, I wonder where his mom lives. No, she literally lives 20 feet away. Yes. You could literally yell. You could yell.
Bang on the wall. Yeah. Yo, Ma.
Ma, what's for breakfast, Ma? I'm like,
everything in the fridge, honey.
Right. And so she's catering to him. I'm like, what is going on?
And that's just a tiny fraction of how she caters to him. Yeah. He's not even hungry. She's like, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Did you want a little something? Let me make you something, something.
Yeah. And then he says, make me whatever. It's the weekend. And then his dad says, every day is a weekend.
Right.
At least he's calling a spade a spade, right? I mean, he's at least at that point, I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, your son's not working, like, but you're also letting him stay there, so I don't know what.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that happened in this episode too is every time they go for a weigh-in, whether they were at Dr. Now's or whether at this other doctor, they were taking pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and you hear it later, you hear mom like, make sure you take a picture of the scale.
I was like, is this for your scrapbook or is this to compare scale or to like
what? Like they've been filming it every time. And I was like, would send it to like his sister, because she was had this weird mom persona in the family. Mm-hmm. Melissa says,
well, I mean, look at her.
Dad
look
probably sends him rude comments with the scale pictures from the kitchen/garage while mom makes him crabby snacks and homemades.
No.
I'm dying. Okay. Oh my God. Sorry.
Anyway. Mark says the more his dad comes out after him with an attitude, the more he wants to eat. Which, okay,
I get that.
For sure.
I drink at people a lot, so yeah.
There you go, yeah. And when we see younger pics, we learn a little bit about his parents' backstory. We see younger pics of them. They said they had Mark when they were 19, and I was looking at his dad when he was younger, and I was like, oh my God, he looks like Colt from 90 Day Fiancé. Did you notice that? I was like,
the way he's built.
Oh. Like,
look at his face, though. Yeah, no. Yes.
Anton C. now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I noticed. I was like, oh my gosh, he kind of looks like Colt. And then you already mentioned it, you know, his parents lost his job. They moved in with the grandmother when they were younger. And Mark says that having a full stomach and a roof over his head makes him feel happy.
Understandable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what addiction and
secure. Whatever. It's security. Yeah. 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 Comfort. I get it.
And then his dad also mentions that he battles a food addiction and that he has to tell himself to walk away from food. But he's able to stop. He's able to actually walk away and say no.
Why did you just stop drinking?
What was that?
Why don't you just stop eating? People who are like, yeah, why don't you just stop? Why don't you just walk away?
The internet assholes and just regular random people.
Why don't you just stop drinking?
Yeah.
You don't have to be depressed. Just think happy thoughts.
Yeah.
Snap out of it. Like those mouth breathers. That's what his dad is like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what his dad is like throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he triggered me. I mean, you know, my trigger is entitled mediocre white men. So
that's your main trigger?
It is. It really
is. The main one.
That's my big one.
The main one.
Yeah. Trust me, like, it was hard for me to watch the murder stuff because I knew going into it I was going to be dealing with middle-aged mediocre white man syndrome. So it's a whole thing. It's a syndrome. Like, it's a thing. I'm convinced of it.
You're convinced?
Like, my husband, one day I asked him, I said, did you ever have, like, times in your life where you were, like, afraid to say something or do something because you thought maybe other people would find it weird or stupid or something or anything like that? And he's like, no. Like, so you just did whatever you wanted, no matter what, without any consequence to what anybody else around you may or may not have thought about it. And he's like, no, I just did whatever that I wanted without any pushback. I'm like, that right there. It's mediocre middle-aged white man. You just, like, you know, you can just get away with doing whatever the hell you want without thinking of other people. Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I told you.
Trigger warning. We need to have a clip in the back. Preach,
yeah. We need to have Dr. Now or somebody going like this behind you.
You're getting off topic. And he just kind of like dips out. No more fruit.
No more fruit. That's not on the diet.
For you.
Slapping the Diet Mountain Dew out of my hand while we're at it.
That's not on the diet.
Can you imagine him on Zoom? It would just be this finger like caressing the person's face slowly. What are you eating? And I'll be like, I swear I'm not a cat. It must be a filter.
Speaking of that, the cat lawyer filter was.
Do you remember that? Yes.
That was. I will watch that.
He's like, oh my god. He's like, I swear I'm not a cat, Your Honor. He goes, you're obviously like
Your Honor. Katrina, have you seen that? Okay. And the best part is they like memed it afterwards and like so many different memes. And they were like, if this is your lawyer, you're going to jail. Like, so in the
It's like, fuck. You were so fucked.
Oh my God. You just saw the other lawyers just being like, I'm sorry. Okay. Getting back on topic. Okay. Yep. We're going back to high school. Mark in high school. He was about 220 pounds. And a football coach at his high school saw him and recruited him to play football and wanted him to get up to 300 pounds. So for him, that was great. He could eat whatever he wanted and gain weight. And he received a scholarship at junior college, but then he got injured, didn't want to fight through the pain, wasn't motivated, didn't want to do it. So then he got into bouncing because... I mean, he's a big boy, though. He looks like he's really tall.
He looks like he was really tall. And they never tell us the height of these people.
I gotta find out. We gotta ask somebody. I gotta figure out somebody that works for the show. I gotta know why.
Find out their heights.
I have to know. I just want to know why they won't tell us. Like, why would you not? You're telling us their age, where they're from, their weight. Like, why not tell us their height?
Because then we would understand the height, weight, proportions, because, you know, I mean, if you don't tell us that, then we're just going to think, oh my god, they're 700 pounds, they're huge. I mean, obviously they are, but 700 pounds on a guy who's 6'5 versus 700 pounds on a guy who's 5'5,
right,
it's going to be a lot different. And so, you know, just like they do all these other things to, you know, film the camera angle to make them look bigger and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well, eventually his friend got him a job bouncing at a quote very well-known club on Sunset Boulevard, aka I did some research. It looks like
Viper Room.
The Rainbow Bar and Grill, actually.
Really?
Because is there a Viper Room in Vegas too?
Oh.
The Rainbow Bar and Grill is in Vegas because he said it was a sister company.
Yeah.
So that
I was just assuming the Viper Room.
That's what I put too. And then I was like, oh, the, you know, and then
Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Probably somewhere, yeah.
And he said in that scene that he was working, he did drugs, binge ate, drank, partied, like a lot of people do that work in that sort of environment. Mm-hmm. And he did get a promotion to then go to the sister venue in Vegas, which I'm assuming, again, it's not confirmed, but that's the only one I could find was Rainbow Bar and Grill.
That matched the description.
Mm-hmm.
And it, which is, Vegas is a great place to go right? on the strip when you clearly have substance issues.
Right? And so his mom was then talking about Mark in his mid-20s, his mom, Maria. She said that's when she noticed the biggest weight gain. And he just ate a lot. And he eventually had to stop bouncing because he was too big to bounce. And then he became unable to drive to work. So that's absolutely awful. Yep. And then we do, of course, the famous grocery store shopping scene.
Yep. Also a square.
Yeah, right where there. He was trying to get in the mobilized scooter and he didn't fit. And so his dad was like, well, you're going to have to push the cart. He was like, no, Dad, no. Like, try. Like, there's no even attempt to try. Like, I get yeah. that you're in pain.
He made his dad push the scooter behind him so that he could sit down when he got tired.
Oh, mm-hmm. my God. Yeah. Which makes me think he's not grocery shopping at all. His parents are literally buying everything and he's just sitting at home and not even.
Well, we know he's not paying for it.
Right.
Anything. Mom's like, no, we don't charge him right. rent. We don't charge yeah. anything. Da, 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 da. So, yeah.
Usually he lives it's interesting. Usually it's the women that are kind of neurotic about the grocery shopping.
Mm.
You ever notice that? Like, they're the ones who are like, no, I'm going grocery shopping because mm-hmm. it needs to be
the control
what I
freak.
Want. Yep. Now, if they can get out of the bed, that's usually how it is.
If they can get out of the bed.
Yeah.
If not, they're usually just critical about the groceries when they get home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got the wrong kind of ice.
Which I can't even imagine how much money these families are spending on groceries because Kaya eats a lot and she's two, like a lot. Like, I'm talking just an enormous amount. And I'm like, you're 2 years old. I can't imagine feeding somebody that's 700 pounds. Like, how do you even do that?
She has to feed the demon. You have to feed the demon
I do.
Inside of her as well.
My friend Matt's sister goes, we need holy water. Because Kyle's like,
whatever that, the demon that's living inside of her, that needs to eat too.
Right. Oh, I love my daughter so much.
Oh, I love my sweet baby angel.
She's so sweet. She is. She just gets a little, you know, temper tantrum. Like,
she's just, you know, 2 and a half.
Yeah. She's a Snickers bar. She's okay.
She's not, yeah. So then we talk, speaking of moms and enabling, manipulation, I'm sorry. Mark can easily manipulate his parents, but mostly his mom.
Oh, God. He doesn't even need to manipulate her because she just, like,
enables. Gives. Yeah. Yeah. So again, we talked about he doesn't pay rent. They don't hold him accountable. But his parents didn't raise him like this, and it was a series of his piss-poor decisions.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay. So nope. Then we see
this whole family is completely dysfunctional.
Yeah. Month one, we see his brother-in-law, RJ, and his mom and him all leaving to go drive to Houston, which is going to take a couple days to visit Dr. Now. And the first thing he says when they get in the car is, are we eating? Are we stopping?
Yeah, like immediately.
Well, I saw him eating the Burger King or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, Katrina got a square.
So yeah, fast food on the way to Houston.
Right? I was like, she got one. They stop in Alabama for the night and they're more than halfway to Houston. And he said that he was thinking about giving up if they weren't over halfway. Which I don't
to just turn around and go home and just do the same amount, like that just doesn't even make sense.
Well, when he finally gets to Dr. Now, he steps on the scale and he weighs 715 pounds. So that was a shock to everyone. They had no idea how big he had gotten. Then we go to the room 5, my favorite part of the show. Room 5.
Where the producers live behind the door.
Right.
Right.
I always wonder, like, I wish they would ask, like, how much do you think you weigh?
Yeah. You know,
like, what is their perception? Like, what's the last number they saw when they tried?
Mm-hmm. Because he himself said that he thought he was in, like, the low 600s.
Right.
That was what he thought. But then he, like, later on, he went on to say that he never had blood work done, but he hadn't had blood work done in a very long time. So I don't think he kept up at all with his health whatsoever.
No, not at all.
And he was very good at talking to Dr. Now. I don't want to say he was, like, schmoozing him over, but he was just very, like, I don't know, charismatic in his conversation with Dr. Now.
He knew how to bullshit it, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like you said, it kind of
manipulation.
You get what you want by kind of, you know, saying what people like to hear.
Yeah, exactly. He knows how to manipulate. He knows. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we see Dr. Now discussing the reasons why he's there, and his mom, Maria, asking about certain blood tests and things that, you know, his sister, being a nurse, wanted them to ask. Which, did this surprise you that they don't do these basic blood work type tests, like, going into the program?
Know, that's why, like, I wanted to ask Wes about that, and I don't think that we got to, but, like, yeah, I wanted to know about all the behind the scenes on what they actually do medically, because I feel like they need to have all of those, you know. Obviously, they're not going to go, you know, I mean, I have to get a we have to get physicals before we go get surgery.
Right.
You know,
I'm just surprised they wouldn't have like some sort of baseline going into the whole program. Like, okay, here you are, month one, here are your cardiac markers, here's your cholesterol, all of your different cholesterol.
I feel like that has to happen from like a medical ethics point of view.
You would think, but he looked shocked. Like, Dr. Now was like, what? Somebody's asking me to...
Time. Well, I mean, the whole thing, that whole thing was weird. Let me read some questions from my daughter.
Weird. I think it's like, I know for me and everyone I know, like, advocating for yourself at a doctor's office, people come in all the time. With questions.
I bring in lists to my...
And his daughter probably Googled more than he did, so...
Yeah.
I mean, true. She had some questions, right?
She did. And those questions were valid. Like, your kidney totally. In the car, like, these are all, like, important things, so... I was like, wow, good for her for bringing that up. But then he was just kind of like flabbergasted, like, whoa, what do I say? I don't know. And then that's when it sounded like he didn't even want to do the blood work until he was like, oh, when was the last time you had a blood test? Yeah. Never. Okay, I guess we should probably do basic.
Yeah, I guess I just assume from a medical ethics point of view that, of course, they do all that stuff, right? Because ethically, you would have to, you know, whatever the minimum standard of care is, I feel like that it's happening whether we see it or not. That may be a wrong assumption on my part. I do wish we'd gotten a chance to talk to Wes about that, and if he would have divulged it, I don't know. But I do wonder about that. But the assumption I make is that they are following whatever the standard of care is.
You would think. Yep.
So, but I mean, I've been wrong before, so I mean, I feel like if you're doing medical procedures on TV, you're going to be following proper procedures because they're pretty easy to track down. But
and maybe Dr. Now just doesn't even care until you do that initial weight loss, until you prove that you actually need or want to be in the program. Maybe he just doesn't bother with it. Like, if you come back in 3 months, 2 months, and you lost weight, okay, now we're gonna take further steps to see where we're at. But to me, I'd want a baseline no matter what, even if I was planning on walking out of the office and never coming back. Like, I think I should.
Right. I feel like that would probably be the case with the practice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you become a patient there, like, I'm going to do the program. I feel like, you'd have to do this whole baseline, whether you're going to be on TV or not, because there are patients that aren't on TV, you know, that go in for, you know.
Right.
I mean, I would think he's not going to recommend care unless there were tests done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the weight alone just isn't going to tell you anything.
Yeah, just looking at somebody, go lose some weight and come back. No,
because Wes was saying, like, when he did get his blood work done, everyone was shocked at how good it was, being that he was 700 pounds. So, you know, weight doesn't necessarily mean that your blood work's going to come back a certain way.
Nope.
Yep.
All right. So then we see month two. Wes is now getting a job. He's working as a travel agent from home.
Oh, yeah, when Wes. He was talking about. Like, I'm not gonna, I can't work, and, you know, post-COVID economy, I can't work, and, you know, I can't go somewhere because I'm too fat and all this stuff. And I'm like, COVID and post-COVID, everything's remote now. Like, you should not have any excuses, dickhead. Go find yourself a fucking job.
Everybody's hiring.
Everybody is.
That's like when Kaya's sperm donor tried to not pay child support for 6 months because he hurt his knee. And I'm like, bro, you can do something from home. Like, what are you doing? There are lots of jobs to be had and many people are hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I don't know if we need to edit that out. Am I going to get sued? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
No.
He's not listening to this. So we see him working as a travel agent. And then we see him talking to his mom again about breakfast. And what she's making, I'm like, get off your ass and make your own food is what I'm thinking.
as mom makes him, here's your 15 waffles.
Mom is weighing out his food for him and using.
Oh, this is the, that, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
She's using low carb tortillas is what Mark said. Tortillas. I was like,
use low carb tortillas when I'm craving a quesadilla or something like that.
But do you call it tortillas or tortillas?
I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't make quesadilla, come eat your dang quesadilla.
I can't even say it wrong.
I know. I'm trying to do Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, that's like when my mom says Chipotle. She's like, what did she say? Chipotle? I can't even do it. I can't say it the way she says it. Anyways. So then his mom gets emotional. He eats his burrito in like 5 seconds and his mom gets emotional over him walking faster than before. But then he rides a bike, which I was like, okay.
I was impressed with that because I can now ride a bike like that.
No, me neither. No helmet or nothing. He was just going for it. I was like, get it. It was impressive.
Yeah.
So I think like at this point I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's making these positive changes. That's great. And now we're into month 3 where we see his dad now.
Oh, this is where the tide is going to turn. I'm going to start liking him.
Yeah.
No.
They're both riding to see doctor now. And he's now riding in the front seat rather than the back seat. When he got out of the car too, I was like, wow, he does look smaller. I did notice that. And Rocky, his dad, they're talking about, well, what if you only lost 40 pounds? And Mark was like, I'm going to work harder then. I'm like, okay, great. Kind of like you, like, okay, yeah. Like maybe this is good. So he weighs in at 618 pounds, which is a weight loss of 97 pounds.
Yeah, impressive.
So that was good. Yeah. That was definitely good.
And this is in where he turns around and says, I'm the mediocre white man. I can do everything on my own.
So then he says 220 is his goal weight. And just based off that, like, one set of weight loss, Dr. Now approves him for weight loss surgery, as long as he moves to Houston and maintains that weight loss. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, well, I don't know if I want to move to Houston. And why would you when you're living rent-free and your parents are making your food?
Right.
And that's when he asks, hey, can you help me lose weight without the surgery? And Dr. Now was like, well, the weight loss is going to slow down. And a lot of times when that happens with people, they give up. And the whole purpose of, you know, the surgery is to
additional tool to help.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I'm sure people that want to have the surgery that actually do the research into it may start having second thoughts because your life, it will be forever changed for the rest of your life. You can't reverse it. Like, whatever. I mean, it's a lot. So maybe he was doing the research. I know then he talked to that girl or whatever, which we'll get to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are we going to get to the 16-year-old girl or are we not?
We can if you want. Yeah. Okay.
But before we get there, so this is the point where he decides, yeah, okay, I can do this on my own. Now, much like Tammy in the episode of Thousand Pound Sisters, you know, she's super excited that she accomplished this goal and she feels great about it, as she should. He's feeling great about his accomplishment, as he should. But here's where he goes into that other thing, is where, you know, he takes that and then decides that, well, I know better than Dr. Now and I know all, and obviously whatever I've done now is working, so I'm just going to keep going, right? Like, I know all. I don't need to listen to another person, right? So he's like, oh, and I need to stay here with my family. It'll actually hurt me if I leave my family.
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay.
See, I don't know if I took it as him being overconfident or him being fearful. See, I'm not sure.
It almost felt like fear, like
medical anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was brought up to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt it as. I thought it was more of a, like, I can't do, like, I'm going to try it on my own. And then when you do lose that amount of weight, it does give you, like, that motivation to keep pushing forward, or so we thought, like, at the beginning of this episode. But I don't know. I'm still not convinced one way or the other.
Well, at the beginning, I mean, I was just like, oh God, you know, here he is thinking he knows better because he's saying, oh no, it's better for me to actually be here because my family's here. It'll actually be harmful to my journey if I leave them because they're such a support to me. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. Dr. Now is telling him, okay, but this is what's going to happen. And, you know, because Dr. Now knows, right?
Has many years of experience
of dealing with this. And this guy's like, well, I know better. It's not going to happen to me. I'm a special little snowflake, right? It's not going to happen to me. You know, and then each step of the way, he goes into weigh in on doing things his way. And the things that Dr. Now has predicted are coming mm-hmm. true. Everything exactly is coming through, you know, like his what he did still lose weight the next time, but it had slowed down. And then the next time he didn't. And then the next time he like gained, yeah. you know, and then he was like, he revealed this big old secret, right? Like, oh, you know, I've been seeing this trainer 3 days a week. That's great. That's fantastic. And I was like really hopeful for him because of that. But then, you know, he was still like dead set against it. Right. And I was like, okay, well, and that's when like it was brought up to me. Do you think maybe he has a medical anxiety? At that point, I was like, okay, maybe that's what it is. It's not just this overconfidence.
Maybe. Yeah. Dr. Now says he should be easily losing 50 to 60 pounds a month if he doesn't want to do the surgery, but you know, to continue his weight loss with his weight being what it is. 50, 60 pounds should be nothing. At this point, we then meet Mark's sister, April. The whole family is eating lunch together, and April is a normal size woman. She's a nurse. She seems to be like the only one in the family that actually has some sort of like common sense, I guess. Like she's just like keeping it real, but also she's supportive. She's not enabling.
She seems like she's like, yeah, like the adult, the grown adult in the room versus like dad who's an asshole.
Right.
You know, mom who's an overbearing enabler, you know.
Well, and then as they're all eating and his dad says to him he needs to cut back on his portion size, quote, Mark needs to suck it up, he's being a little wimp. I'm like, that's just not really gonna, I mean, is that gonna help him or what is calling somebody a little wimp gonna do?
Yeah, dad's an asshole. That's right. Like his way of like trying to like shame him into eating better, which is not gonna help.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say that Mark says his dad is his trigger, and his dad responds with, well, you're my trigger too. I'm like, okay, this is a very not healthy,
completely dysfunctional.
I can imagine the dad's like, move the fuck out,
right?
Please leave. Your mom's bankable years are dwindling. No, I'm being bad, but like seriously, I think there comes a point where you're like, gotta go. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, doesn't he try to do that in the end? I can't remember. Like he tried mm-hmm. to do that, right? Like, mm-hmm. and mom was like, no, not having it, or he wasn't having it. I don't know. There were some.
The mom seems to be the one that goes, no, he doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he can stay home. I have my Wendy syndrome.
Moms and their baby boys. I've always heard it's a thing.
Hey.
It's true though.
Kick him out.
Oh my gosh. My mom, she knows my grandmother preferred my uncle over her. It was a known fact.
They can go live with their girlfriends now.
Yeah. Wait, what is the mommy
healthy habit of home bouncing around?
What's the saying? I have to think about it. There's a saying about moms and their sons before they get a wife. It's like a little rhyme. I'll figure it out. Anyways. It's like a, you know, moms and their baby boys, whatever. She's
Is that like derogatory?
No, it's not bad. It's like, what is it? It's funny.
Because I don't want to be like her.
You are not like her.
my baby boy. It all
depends. It all depends. Is your son coming home and are you washing his laundry for him?
No, I don't wash his laundry.
Does he just drop the bag off and
he does not.
Then you already have a step. You're already a step right direction.
Mm-hmm. But I can't say, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he does with that. Okay. Maybe he drops it with his girlfriend. I don't know. Maybe she does it for him.
Hey, that's her choice then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, maybe she did it for him before they came home. Because they're coming home next week.
Oh,
do they live together?
No, well, they're both at college. And they both live up here. I mean,
yeah.
So they're both going to be here for spring break.
Okay, so this is not exactly the quote I was looking for, but it is, a son is a son till he gets a wife, but a daughter is a daughter all of her life. But that's not the one that I was trying to find. Anyways, mommies love their sons, and then they fly away, and then they meet a woman. But until then, mommies baby their sons. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the little listeners can chime in. I have a daughter, so I don't know.
Say, that sounds like that, like, cherished sweet memory terracotta thing.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's like a Hallmark store. Do you guys remember those Hallmark stores?
Do they still exist?
No, I don't know.
Like all the, like the cards and stuff, but then
I think they do still
all
exist.
The tchotchkes and stuff. Mm-hmm. The little precious memories things that Annika was talking about.
There's the precious memories, and then there's like the wood block ones. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. The wood block.
Yeah.
I thought that they were just for Mormons when I first saw them, because
they have like
my friends were all Mormons and they had them. I'd never seen them before. But I thought they were like Mormon tchotchkes. I'm like, how do I get one made? They're like, go to the store. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Go to the store.
Let's see, wooden figurines, wedding day bullshit. You can get one, you cursed your marriage. Don't do it.
So note to self, don't ever buy one.
Don't ever buy one.
Don't send them to my friends.
They're called willow tree figures. Oh, every woman that I've seen, or every couple I've seen get a willow tree figure, they're divorced in like 3 years. I'm like, it's a curse. Don't get them.
So I won't tell you guys that my sponsor gave me one for my first sobriversary.
Well, it's fine. You weren't married. It's okay.
No, she gave it to me for my first sobriversary. It had been given to her by her sponsor on her first sobriversary. And then I passed it on to my sponsee on her first sobriversary.
Oh, you keep passing it on. So nobody can read
you're passing it on. It's only when you get the like together.
It's just a single.
And their version of dark skin is like peach. Oh, God.
So they're racist too.
What are you talking about? I don't know. They're cute. They're very well made, but I thought that they were. I thought you bought them at like the Mormon gift shop or something.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, Hannah, the same place you buy the underwear.
You should have come here for the Mormon walkthrough of the temple here in DC.
Oh, I've done it. I saw like golden bulls and shit, but
where was that at? Where'd you go?
There's one in Mesa, Arizona.
Oh.
And it was like a grand opening. It was like super crazy.
Yeah, they had the one here in DC. They did a walkthrough thing. Well, like
you still couldn't see everything.
No, I'm sure.
I saw almost the ceiling room or whatever. I did. I saw it. But then of course they're renovating it. So like they like get all the bad
not
juju.
The
non-Mormon juju out of the building after that.
You just YouTube it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, we digress. Okay, so then we're now going to month 5. He goes back to doctor now, and he weighs in at 576 with a recent weight loss of 42 pounds for a total weight loss of 139 pounds.
And by this point, he should have lost over 200.
Mm-hmm. And it's still like a decent amount, but he should have lost more, yeah.
And it's slowing down, just as Dr. Now said it was.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Now wants to set up appointments for him in Houston for an endoscopy and blood work. All of his tests come back good. He talks about his personal trainer. Now, this is where I'm like, this is kind of a weird conversation when Mark wants to have a drink with his family and they're like pouring liquor out in this like daytime. And I'm like, I don't, you know, I drink. I know you don't. Hannah Cobble, do you? I don't know, but it's kind of weird. I've never had like a family setting. Where just, like,
she's laughing because yes, she does consume.
I indulge.
Yeah, like now my grandparents from Russia were like big drinkers, and they passed away when I was younger. And I remember my Zadushka pouring vodka a lot, but as like growing up, I never like just would cheers like straight liquor with my family like
and
that
they're drinking
the
out of like, these plastic cups because they're eating off a plastic table because they're eating in a like converted garage into a kitchen because it looks to me my guess is that they're having some kind of
like
remodeling
barbecue, right?
But like a remodeling done to the kitchen, so this is like their temporary kitchen because it looks like a garage converted to me. And there's a box with what appears to be an appliance in it in the kitchen that's like there for a while. I'm zeroing in on everything in the
bathroom. That's why you were talking about them being like these rich people. I was like, maybe. I don't know. As they drink out of their plastic.
Yeah, because I think they're living in the...
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Their kitchen is temporary.
So he wants to have a drink with them and they're talking. And he says, I'm not getting the surgery. They call his sister. So now everyone's talking to him. And his sister says, you should get the surgery. And that's when his dad says, your sister's right, and she's smarter than you. And I'm like, okay.
That's good.
Y'all have some problems, man. Some serious issues, man.
Yeah, he keeps like belittling him and putting him down. And I'm like, well, no wonder he's not losing weight. Of course not. He's eating his feelings away.
Yeah.
And when somebody tells you you're stupid, you see yourself as stupid. So, and you're fat. Well, then you see yourself as fat. It's terrible. And at this point, I was like, all right, I don't like the dad. I mean, I didn't like him before, but now that was just the final straw for me.
The broadcast will be right back.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now back to the fraudcast. Fast forward to month 9. We see him going to another clinic. We don't see him going to Dr. Now, just for a weigh-in. And he weighs 579.6 pounds with a weight gain of 3 pounds. As they're sitting there, they have to call Dr. Now and tell him what's going on.
It's like calling daddy. Yeah.
He's like, so father. The good news is, you know.
And then he goes on to say, I don't want to come up with any excuses, but I also haven't used the bathroom in a few days. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, I've used that excuse. Like, but he's, I go like, to the bathroom every day.
I'm so full of shit, man. Yeah. He's like, sure, but then that means you didn't gain or lose anything, and that's not the goal either.
That's not the goal either. Right. And again, I wrote down, his dad calls Mark stupid for thinking he can have a couple of cookies. I'm like, oh my god, I don't know. Every time,
like, you wonder why your kid's closet eating.
Yeah. We see the family meeting with Dr. Paradise at this point, per Dr. Now's request, on Zoom or whatnot.
That's it.
The whole family.
The whole family,
except for the sister. Sister's like, fuck that. I'm not doing group family therapy on that Zoom.
Or she's too busy being a nurse working 8 hours a week to she's be like, on the
I, got, I have though. Shit to do. And not this shit. So, you know. Don't blame her.
But let's talk about, do you want to talk about the 16-year-old? Or no?
Sure.
Okay, so he is having this therapy session where he says that the point he's trying to make is that, I don't know, something about, well, if this other person has this disease and they can't go and have surgery to fix it, then I shouldn't either. Some kind of like grand, weird
pain,
white horse twisted syndrome. I don't know. But he specifies the person that has this disease is the 16-year-old girl he's been talking to.
Oh.
And the context of the way that that comes out is like...
So this is where I don't think they did him justice, because they just like threw out, hey, there's a 16-year-old girl he's talking to, without any sort of information on it.
Right.
So I looked into what that was about. And somebody posted on Reddit one of her Facebook posts when they like blacked out her name, but I found it. I'm not going to say it, but what does she battle with? Complex regional pain syndrome that she's had since second grade. And so how they met was, they've never met face to face, but so Mark is an employee of this girl's brother. So when Mark was down on his luck and frustrated with how things were going, he decided to contact My 600 Pound Life. He was ready to have bariatric surgery. And then
the brother
told Mark about his sister
that has this complex regional pain syndrome.
Right. And so that story stuck with Mark. And when he found out what she was going through and all the treatments, he said that he changed his mind. And if she couldn't do something, quote, easy to get better, then he wasn't going to either. So there was some like brief communication between the two of them that her brother knew about, and like motivational quotes. And it looks like this girl's pretty sick and dealing with a lot. So I was thinking about it, if roles were reversed, right? If it was like a woman being introduced to a younger man that was battling a disease or something.
A little boy that was
a 16-year-old boy, right? Like would it have been looked upon differently? I don't know.
It's still kind of weird.
It would still be kind of weird.
Is it weird though that it's through like a friend, a coworker?
I mean, it's
like if
I'm a little less weird because it at least explains like how they connected versus like connecting in a discussion group of like-minded people who all have complex regional pain syndrome or whatever, you know, like a support group type thing. Like they don't have similar things. It's not a fellow person, you know, who's morbidly obese. It's not, you know what I mean? Like that would make sense. So having the friend kind of explains at least how they know each other. But like to have the connection and weird, there's a weirdness to it all. And his weird, like reverse white knight syndrome thing about if she can't, then I can't. Like, who is she that you're suddenly so passionate about that you're, you know, not just the whole thing was weird.
It's a little strange. And
I think
he was
just trying to find an excuse of saying like, well, just pretend like I have something that you can't do surgery on me. How would you treat me then?
And he didn't express it very well.
Yeah. It's just that nothing is expressed well in that fucking show.
That's why I agree. I'm like, there's too much. And I think it could have been just a few messages here or there that are completely
right.
Not even. Yeah. And of course, everything gets blown up to be what it is. Because I heard some people saying some horrible things online, like he's grooming her. And I'm like, you don't have any evidence of that. Like, it is a little strange. I know we all kind of caught it. Like, okay, 16-year-old, like what? Okay.
They're trying to get, you know, they're sensationalizing. Right. You know what I mean? They're trying to provide entertainment. You know, they heard that and they're like, oh, who is this girl? You know, and it could have absolutely been out of context the way that yeah.
Yeah. So that was that. And I think like it was an excuse kind of. It was just a scapegoat. It was just something to just.
Something else to.
To kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. P, though, was like the king of logic, you know, like, you know, when he's doing everything that he's like bringing up, this guy Mark was bringing up about, oh, like, what about this? He's like, no, you're not saving your life. Like, this is saving your life. Doing the surgery would save your life. Like, you know, all of it. So I love Dr. P.
Right. Because let's be honest, the average person doesn't get to 700 pounds, right? I mean, you have to really eat a lot and
there obviously is something pathological underneath that. What is that? You know,
exactly. And what is the underlying?
He's clearly got a fear of going for the surgery. Is it a fear of failure? If he gets that and then he fails, like, you know,
which I think
like,
he did actually mention at some point.
Yeah, he did. I think he did say something about that. And I think that, I mean, that makes sense, I guess. Like, if you go, I think that's part of was Tammy's part of her issue.
I think so.
You know, was that like, oh God, because if I do this, then I won't have an excuse not to, you know, to fail. And now then I have to really do this and I have to change. And oh my God, it's all too scary. You know,
I just noticed that I typoed Dr. Paradise to say Dr. Parasite. Sorry.
Oh, no. He's not a parasite.
No, I'm not going to do Dr. Paradise
he's
like that.
Tiny. He's like Hanakawa size, but
I just want to pick him up and just give him a big hug.
Oh, my God.
He's like 4'10".
He's so cute. I like Dr. Paradise.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
Yeah. So what else happened?
Calling this show my Dr. Paradise therapy session. Like, what kind of logic is he dropping now?
Yeah. And basically, he doesn't get the surgery. I mean, that summarizes the rest of the episode.
Yeah. He decides he knows better and he's going to do fine on his own. And
so I did look him up on Instagram to see if he posted anything recent. And it looks like this is a new account. And the three things he posted were with his trainer. And I did see him tagged and stuff. It looks like his trainer made some recent posts saying he's working really hard. And he does seem to have lost some weight, but they're not. Oh, wait. In April 2022, he dropped down to 563. As of March 2023, he has officially entered the 400s at 487. So okay. He has, as of March.
He's losing something.
As of now, yeah.
Well, one of the things that he had said, too, was that this guy had given him a different diet that's different than Dr. Now's, which is probably better for him, to be honest, because 1,200 calorie a day diet is not sustainable. It's not maintainable. It's like a toddler, right? And you need to eat what your macros matter, blah, 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 blah. I'm not an expert, so but, like, there are certain things you need balances of this and that, and just purely eliminate, like you've talked about, anything it tells you to completely cut out anything that's not great, you know what I mean? So he probably did give him a diet that's more sustainable, more protein focused,
right? And of course, like if Mark's working out all the time and the other 700 pounders are not working out like that, 1,200 calories is like the bare minimum before your body goes into starvation mode. So at that point, you'll start to retain weight if you don't eat enough, if you're, you know, working out and not eating enough.
Mm-hmm. Those are the same exact conversations that I had with my doctor today, actually, as we were talking about my macros for maintenance, you know, and the focus on proteins and how much protein that, you know, especially given the types of workouts that I'm doing. If Mark is working out the way that they showed him on TV, he's working out like that on a regular basis, yeah, his body composition is totally going to change. Mm-hmm. But you can't outrun a bad diet. So he has to still make sure he's eating properly, right?
Yeah, and it looks like he's doing pretty well, though, to be down to 28 and not having surgery. So I guess wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he'll be able to, the world will see his dad being an asshole and he'll be able to see that the world knows his dad's an asshole and he can come out on top and
he'll move out and... Then what will mom do?
Yeah.
My sister already up and moved away. She moved as far away from mom as she could get. She's in Seattle.
Because she's like, I'm out.
Florida to Seattle.
I am out.
She moved the fuck away. I can't blame her. Can't blame her. All right. I think that's it for Fat Friday. We've been talking your ear off. Thanks for listening. Please share the show. Please leave us a 5-star review if you like our show. Leave us a nice little comment. We would love that. And we will hit you up next week. Bye.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in
just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear, but not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.